This was the basis of the organization of society. An emphasis on the countryside, the simple life, rustic life, not the city. The natural versus the artificial. Emphasized the mystical properties of the soil, of the people, of the blacksmith. The blacksmith, the artisanal worker, as opposed to the industrial worker forced into soulless repetition within the factory system. Socially, one saw in the works of people like Ruskin or Marat or Barrès or someone like Julius Langbein in Germany, a call for some form of corporatist economic order that was neither capitalist nor socialist. A return, in fact, to a kind of corporatist past of estates, Stände is the German term. The medieval community was idealized in a way that the medieval community never existed, a sort of a society without class conflict, a stable society of estates in which every different occupational estate had its own special rights, its own special code of honor, its own respect, and so on, and where a society was not absolutely riven by class conflict. There was the idealization of two social types, the peasant and the artisan, as I said, particularly the blacksmith, and an emphasis on people with roots in the community, in the soil. That one of the greatest sins of modern industrial society was that it had atomized and it reduced society to atomized individuals or to mindless social classes, that the individual bound somehow to his community, finding his individuality within this community, this very basic community, had been lost or was in danger of being lost. The enemies, the arch enemies of this kind of society were to be seen in, on the one hand, the urban, rootless proletariat, captive to the, on the one hand, industrial capitalism for its livelihood and lured, seduced by Marxist socialism on the other, and most prominently in the writings of this new group of social critics in the 1890s, one also saw the Jew as a major enemy or a target, a reflection of all that was wrong with modern industrial society. Indeed, it is in the 1890s that the age-old problem of anti-Semitism would be restructured, reformulated. There was a Jewish question in a new, more modern sense. In order to understand what this meant, I think it's important to think about three different types of anti-Semitism, historical forms of anti-Semitism. The oldest form of anti-Semitism was religious. This was the basis for the exclusion of Jews from European society, forcing Jews into ghettos. The Jews held responsible for the death of Christ, their failure to convert to become Christians. So that in traditional Europe, in medieval Europe, to be European was to be Christian. This was the basis of one's position in the community. Jews became a tolerated minority, and tolerated with certain periodic exceptions, of course. But religious anti-Semitism was the basis for their exclusion from certain socio and economic positions. They were excluded from the so-called productive occupation. Jews in most of Europe had not been able to be members of guilds. In most of Europe, farming was not allowed for Jews. Jews were forced to live as middlemen, facilitating commerce between the rural population and the towns, or to function as moneylenders. Jews were not affected by the laws on money lending, by usury laws, and as a consequence, Jews could loan money at much higher rates of interest than anyone in the Christian community. This was not only tolerated, but encouraged by the established powers in Europe in the medieval period. It was useful to have someone that one could go to as a last resort to borrow money. If one went to the Jew, as it was put, one was obviously already a bad risk, having been turned down by Christian sources operating under these usury laws. So Jews were excluded from, quote, productive occupations for religious reasons, forced into these other occupations, into these economic roles as middlemen, and then persecuted for it.